Blog Talk Radio.
The following has taken place during Total Sports Live. Talk Radio, and always, as we always do every show, thanks to the guys over at BuzzOnBroad.com and the Broad Spectrum Sports Network. We have a very interesting show for you tonight as we are closing in on the Super Bowl next week. We've got an interesting show for you tonight as we're going to be talking about the Deflategate as we left you guys last Sunday with the Colts getting shellacked by the Patriots. But who knew a few hours later after we all went to sleep that new cheating scandal would involve the New England Patriots. We're also going to talk about Jeremy Maclin and the Philadelphia Eagles, as there are reports out there that the Eagles and him are not so close in a contract. They're not there yet in talks. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the Sixers, as they lost Tony Rogan, who will be out for a significant time as he has a partially torn ACL. So we're going to talk about that, all that and more here on the show. But if you want to get in and call in, you can call in at 714-868-0800. That is 714-868-0800. But let's start off the show by talking about the New England Patriots and Deflategate. They're deflating footballs. They are deflating footballs. 11 out of 12 were under 2 pounds PSI. For all y'all science people, y'all found out what, for people that didn't know, y'all found out what that was. But 2 pounds footballs lighter, Brady and Belichick have press conferences basically both saying they don't know what happened. So who does the blame fall on? What should be the ramifications of everything? And let's talk about that right now with my co-host always joining me on the show, Angela Montoni of BuzzOnBroad.com. How you doing, Angela?
Well, hello. I'm good. My whole thing is, when they got caught cheating the last time, didn't they try to fall behind a defense that they misinterpreted the rules? They didn't cheat. They just didn't think it was against the rules to do what they did.
They
interviewed Tom Brady tonight during the Pro Bowl. I was watching it earlier, and like they had like a VSL interview with him. They were like, oh, well, you were selected, but for obvious reasons, you didn't play. And they asked him about it, and he just sounded so, like, cocky about it. Like, well, the NFL is just not going to get until after the Super Bowl.
Right.
So what happens if they investigate after the Super Bowl and they found that you cheat, and then you guys win the Super Bowl, then what happens then? So does your Super Bowl win get an asterisk, or do you give Seattle the win? Or, I mean, do you, like, even, like, go even back further and say, like, and admit to the Colts that they got screwed?
Right.
And isn't that a thing in, like, practice? Like, don't they deflate balls in practice to make it easier for the wide receivers to catch it? And then they do that, like, during, like, the where they get all the seniors and stuff, like the draft-eligible players out to catch. Don't they deflate the balls to make it easier for them to catch and grab? So it's, like, a proven, like, practice strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's what you can do to, like, give you the advantage. And they're going to be arrogant about it.
Right.
They
will
let the NFL investigate after the season. I mean, well, right then it's all said and done. So it's not like the NFL doesn't drop the ball on these types of rulings and these types of things. I mean, this is the MO that the NFL has.
No,
I mean,
you're
an insult to the game. I think it's a really huge insult to the game and a really huge blow to the integrity of the game.
No, you're right about that. And when you first hear about it, you hear Patriots deflating footballs. So you're like, oh, no, not again. They're doing something wrong. But at the same aspect, you're like, I'm not surprised that this team is doing it. I mean, you say to yourself, you're not surprised. Because the last time you were in the Super Bowl, what happened around that time? Spotgate was going on. And they're back in the Super Bowl once again. And now we have deflating footballs now. And now you see many players speaking out against the Patriots saying, you know, that, you know, something has to be done. You know, Tom Brady is not telling the truth. You know, do you actually guys believe? Do you believe Brady? The way he's saying it, Brady's press conference was pretty much just like blah. He basically said, I didn't know, you know. I didn't know the footballs are deflated. Bill was like, well, I didn't know, but now I definitely learned more about the process. But Bill Belichick's been in the game of football for over 40 years, so you got to be kind of perplexed and say to yourself, how don't you know how the process of the footballs go? You've been in the league for 40 years, and as I said, the Brady press conference is just ridiculous. And both guys, Belichick threw Brady under the bus, and then Brady just came back and basically was like, I don't know what happened to the ball. I don't know what happens to him. And you sit there and you say to yourself, how don't you know what had happened? And this is not the first time it's happened, supposedly, this season. Supposedly, when the Colts played the Patriots earlier in the year, this season, that the balls were a little bit underdeflated. So this is not just a one-time thing, it seems like. This thing is something that happened earlier in the season. And we don't even know how many teams this had actually happened to beforehand, if any, this season or the year before, but just particularly this season. So it's a very interesting thing. And I'm talking to a lot of people, friends, you know, just bantering back and forth with what's happening to the Patriots. And a lot of them think that Roger Goodell needs to drop the hammer on the Patriots. A lot of people are saying, you know, Belichick should get suspended for a year. The Patriots should lose their draft picks, a fine. I'm all for it. I think they do got to drop the hammer. You got to set a precedent. You just can't let this man just run around, let this organization just run around like the Wild Wild West, controlling everything, and then you penalize other players and stuff for that for a little obscene gesture for $20,000. When you got a team that's running a cheating factory, or the Patriot way, as we like to call it, there's things that they definitely got to handle and fix and change. Angela, what do you think should be the ramifications for the Patriots?
I think I agree with you. The hammer needs to be brought down. Someone needs to get suspended, whether it's Belichick or Brady or both. And, you know, draft picks probably should be reevaluated. You can't allow a franchise to continue to cheat. And it's acknowledged that they have cheated before. Whether or not it's really gone on the regular since they got caught the last time, I mean, honestly, would you really doubt if it was and they just were able to get away with it? They got caught again. This is the second time they've gotten caught. The NFL showed no mercy for the New Orleans Saints when they found out the proof of the bounty system.
Right.
So why not do the same thing to them? They are compromising the integrity of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go back to it, and this is not me being sour as an Eagles fan, but that season they were caught cheating, like videotaping other teams' practices. So, I mean, The Super Bowl that they beat the Eagles for, that comes into question. So really, should that have been an Eagles ring that would have laid all the whole no ring argument to rest, which is really invalid because the Eagles have 3 NFL championships, even though it was before it was re in Super Bowl. We're not even into that. But,
right.
I mean, if it goes back that far, like, shouldn't that be taken away from them? Why are they in the Super Bowl, and why is nobody, like, why is nothing being done right now? The NFL is going to wait until after the Super Bowl to investigate it. So if they beat the Seahawks on Sunday, what's going to happen if they eventually rule that, yeah, they cheated and they, like, were dishonest with their methods? So is there a winged asterisk? Do you declare Seattle the winner? Like, do you, like, go back and fantasize about how it should have been a Colts-Seattle Super Bowl? And what do you do? Where does it go? Where does it end?
No, you're right about that because, as you said, the balls are deflated, but as I said, if the balls are properly inflated, could that be a different outcome in the game? Should the Indianapolis Colts won that game and been in the Super Bowl and say if the Patriots do win the Super Bowl, then does that put, and you're right, as you mentioned earlier, does that put an asterisk next to their name? Cause you got to think it has to be at this point, and you're right, they gave Sean Payton a one season suspension slash ban for Bounty Gate, as they found out, you know, he did know what was happening. And if the NFL figured out that they knew Sean Payton was doing something and had knowledge of Bounty Gate, then, and this was talking about employers and coaches' meetings with the players, then there is no way that Bill Belichick does not know what's happening with those footballs.
He's proven to be a liar. He's proven to be a cheater, a liar, and he's proven to be full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Do I trust him when he says I had no idea what was going on? I don't trust him any further than I can throw his fat self.
Right. You're right. I don't believe him either, and I don't believe the quarterback either. You know, I don't believe Brady saying that he doesn't know, because even if I did,
how cocky and arrogant he sounded tonight on the Pro Bowl when they interviewed him via satellite. If
mm-hmm.
I even believe him one shred before tonight, after seeing that and listening to that, he knows what's going on. He knows what he's doing. He knows what his coach was doing. He's laughing about it. He's laughing at everyone.
All right.
So I know,
even
if I did believe him, I don't anymore, because he was just that much of a jerk.
Right. No,
I'm trying not to curse. You have no idea how much I'm trying not to like spew out to describe these people.
Right. No, I definitely get you on that. So, I mean, we'll find out. The NFL definitely has to make if they're not going to the NFL is definitely going to have to drop the hammer on this team eventually at the end of the Super Bowl, and we go into a new season, because if they don't, then it just makes the NFL look more like a joke, because they have to keep revamping their image after what happened earlier this season. They're cracking down on Marshawn Lynch with his obscene gesture, which we all know of. His gold cleats, they're trying to crack down on these things. And if you do not crack down on his organization, then there will be a lot of backlash to the NFL
Marshawn Lynch makes that gesture, though, after he busts off the run of the year. That was the podcast where they were on TV, and I, you know, you heard me in the background go, holy shiitake mushrooms, because I don't need to be blurred out again. But that when he busted off an 80-yard run where he just kept, like, putting his arm and stiff-arm people and pushing them off him. So, yeah, I mean, was it inappropriate a little bit? I mean, I get how they're trying to crack down on the sportsmanlike conduct, but I think the fact that he got fined $20,000 for that, which was pretty much the same thing he did in the playoff game against the Saints when he busted off that run again that took them over them.
Right.
To fine him $20,000 for that and then say that we're not going to investigate this until after the Super Bowl, I mean, it's a little bit lopsided. Where are your priorities in the league? I mean, are you really that focused on your professional football players spreading sunshine, rainbows, and happy thoughts that you overlook the integrity of the game?
Mm-hmm. No, you're definitely right about that. So we'll definitely see what happens going forward, as the NFL should be making a decision on this, hopefully very soon, because it does not take this long for this type of trial by jury, if you want to say. We have now about 15 minutes left in the podcast. Let's switch topics, talking, staying in football, though, talking about those Philadelphia Eagles, as Jeremy Maclin and the Eagles right now are not nowhere close to a contract. And if you've been listening to the podcast this whole entire Eagles season, me and Angela had definitely made it a priority, and we have said this many times, that the Eagles need to resign this guy, because the receiver position looks very scary, to say the least. But there's a report that came out yesterday, and this is from BleedingGreenNation.com, but ESPN NFL insider Adam Kaplan appeared on 97.5 Fanatic on Friday evening and gave an update on Maclin's contract situation. Kaplan is certainly plugged into the Eagles, and look no further than him breaking the news. Okay, here was Kaplan had to say about Maclin. He said, Well, here's the deal. So about a month ago, I was asked on, I think it was NFL Insiders on ESPN, about the status of Macklin's contract. I said, don't worry about it. He's not going anywhere. The Eagles want him back. This deal will get done. That was before Macklin changed his agent from Ben Dagra, who's done a ton of deals and gone as far back as John Runyon. I mean, he must have easily done 24 contracts with the Eagles over the years. The Eagles have a great working relationship with him. Now, Dagra broke off from CAA, and his partner was Tom Condon. Ironically, Tom Condon now represents Macklin. And Condon, I just get the sense he doesn't have the same relationship with that Dagra did. I'm not saying that the deal won't get done. I'm just not nearly optimistic as I was before. It goes on and on about the it goes on and on. If you read the story, it's on BleedingGreenNation.com. It goes on and on about Kaplan with his source about the information, and I can definitely see where he's I definitely see where he is going with it because it's kind of scary. You know, Macklin did change owners, and then another thing with this story. I mean, not owners changed. Excuse me, changed agents. But another interesting thing with this story is that a lot of agents now, and this is going to the Eagles front office, a lot of agents don't know who to call. They don't know who to call Howie Roseman. They don't know if they should call Howie Roseman because Roseman really is not the personnel guy no more, even though he does the contracts. Should they call Chip Kelly? And supposedly Chip Kelly's out there giving agents his phone number. So this whole situation is just ridiculous. If you don't know, Jeremy Macklin ended out the season with 85 receptions, 1,318 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Angela, your thoughts on all of this, what I just said?
Kelly needs to hire someone to be head of personnel ASAP. I would have been completely happy if he would have given the ultimate, like, middle finger to Howie Roseman and rehired Tom Gamble. I actually thought that might have happened. I could have seen that happening. But it hasn't. So Chip Kelly needs to find someone like right now that can do that for him because he can only do so much. He's the coach. He can't worry about all the paperwork and the red tape and all that. He has to worry about coaching the team and putting the best product in the field that he can.
Right.
And the only thing that I have faith in Jerry Macklin, even though he switched agents and stuff, Jerry Macklin was around when Deshaun Jackson went through all those issues with the Eagles, when his agent was feeding him all of the, hold out, and how it hurt the team.
Right.
Jerry Macklin is not a hurt-the-team type player. So I would hope against hope that he would not be the type of player that would let his agent get in the way. Like, I don't think he's easily persuaded in terms of what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I believe him that he wants to stay. He said that all last year when he was out, this whole year when he was in, even when he was, like, lighting the world on fire and probably could have gotten a bunch of free agent offers, he always keeps saying he wants to stay here, he wants to be here. I believe him. And
mm-hmm.
I also believe that because he was around when Deshaun Jackson's agent made a lot of trouble for him and a lot of trouble for the team in tandem after that, that I don't
mm-hmm.
think he would let that get in the way.
Right.
I would at least hope not.
Right.
I think we all want him back.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. We all want him. We all want him back. And when you look at the NFL free agents, especially at the wide receiver position, it's a very deep wide receiver class. I mean, you have the likes of Wes Welker, Reggie Wayne, Macklin, Eddie Royal. You have Michael Crabtree on this list. Demaryius Thomas, Hakeem Nicks, Dez Bryant's on this list. So you got the likes of Wayne, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Macklin. There's big names out there. Torrey Smith is out there as well. Randall Cobb's out there. So this wide receiver class is deep. This wide receiving class is deep in terms of free agency. And if I'm Macklin, I sort of wait to see what the market dictates. You know what I'm saying? How we do in every free agency, we try to see how the market dictates.
Yeah.
And if I'm him, I want to see what the likes of a Dez Bryant gets on the market or a Demaryius Thomas, because then that gauges on what I can do. Because you don't want to be that first guy, because then you might get overpaid. He has to look at it, especially on how bad teams like Dallas needs Dez, or how bad the Denver needs Demaryius. You know, those wide receivers that those teams desperately need to keep, and see how much they pay him, because then that determines how much he should get paid.
Yeah, and doesn't Andy Reid want him in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah. I would have no doubt that Andy Reid would want him to have him in that offense, basically because it's literally the same offense. He pairs him with Dwayne Bowe in that receiving core and makes Macklin the number one option. Andy Reid would love to have him there. So I'm great that you mentioned that, because that's another wild card in this situation right here. That's definitely another wild card.
I think that's the only way he goes.
Yeah. That was a great point right there that you brought that up. I totally forgot about Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a name. That's definitely a team to keep an eye out on when free agency begins, I think, next month or even in March. It's a couple months before the draft, so I think it might be next month.
Irvin won the Pro Bowl because he's, like, jumping up and down the field like a fool and slam dancing everyone right now. And Matt
well,
Ryan
at least that's the only thing that makes.
Kind of
I think
shame,
that,
so.
At least that makes the Pro Bowl kind of fun with the whole fantasy draft. I think that makes it a little.
Chris
fun,
Carter. Chris Carter is like looking like shaking his head, like I can't believe this dude just beat me.
That's why I think it's so cool. Like with the Pro Bowl, I think it's so cool that they did the fantasy draft.
JJ Watt looks like he wants to punch someone.
See, this is what the NFL needed. Nothing that was like 55-34, a nice close game that came out to the wire, even though a lot of players dropped out of it, which is definitely concerning.
Yeah, which
concerning.
Is a shame. I mean,
a lot of players did drop out.
It's an advantage they gave themselves because they put it the week before the Super Bowl. So anyone who's like in the Super Bowl isn't going to obviously compete. And like those that were in the playoffs, like they're like tired. They want to like get a, you know, I mean.
Right.
Other sports, it's in the middle of the season, so.
No, you're right. You're right. Other sports are in the middle of the season, and they have, and some of them have more impact than others. Obviously, baseball has more impact than other ones. But that's another show for another day. We'll talk about All-Star games probably another show.
Yeah, that would actually be a good show to, like, do the whole thing with All-Star games and our opinion of them.
And pick and choose what's bad and what's wrong from what could be changed and all that. That'd be a good show. We might have to put that on a docket one of these days. We have about 6 minutes left in the show, and let's talk about one more thing, and that's our Philadelphia 76ers. They did lose. They lost Friday night to the Raptors in a close one. Still good game by the squad. They're learning how to play well. Then last night on a back-to-back, which was expected, they get the doors blown off by the Memphis Grizzlies. But not to be worried, folks, they play the New Orleans Pelicans tomorrow night. That should be a victory, as the way they beat them earlier this month. This should be a victory for them, even though Anthony Davis will probably be playing. That gives another task for Nerlens Noel and the just Sixers offense in general to try to get around this guy. But the biggest news that came out of the Sixers this week is that Tony Roten is out with a partially torn ACL, which means they're missing a good, a good six-man for this team, who brought spark and offense off the bench. Even though he's a little wild and erratic at times, he still brings a lot of energy off the bench for the Sixers, and it was good in spot starting. As Angela watches this team more than I do, because I like to flick around on television, she definitely watches this team more than I do. Who needs to step up for the Sixers with Roten now out?
Okay, well, two things. I'm going to run through this real fast because we're running out of time. One, there is no such thing as a partial tear of the ACL. The ACL is so small that even, like, the slightest tear in it, like, requires surgery and major recovery time.
Yeah.
This is bad because Tony Roten has done really great things with the team. However, this means that Sam Hinkie can't trade him.
Yep.
So as long as he can come back and be the same Tony Roten that he was before he injured himself, then I'm okay with that. I don't want to wish him being injured if it means that he will never be the same, but if he can come back and be the same Tony Roten, then that's awesome. Right. That means Sam Hinkie can't trade him, and that means next year they contend, and that's what we want.
Right.
I think it needs to be, like, step up by committee.
Yep.
I think you need to have three-point threats, which Robert Covington has looked awesome. Jeremy Grant is really asserting himself, which is wonderful. Larry Drew is showing that he wants to play in the NBA. And Michael Carter-Williams is Michael Carter-Williams, but, I mean, as good as he is, I feel like he's just being overshadowed by these guys that just seem to want it more. And Nerlens Noel is turning into a beast underneath, and KJ McDaniels will be a future Sixth Man of the Year. The future for this team is just so, so bright. You just have to hope that Sam Hinkie will not blow it up at this point, that he will just keep the pieces in place to move forward in the future, because they have a lot of really good pieces. You have a viable three-point threat in Robert Covington. Luke Bahamute is a great rebounder, as is Nerlens Noel, and you hope that MB can come out and complete that. I think it's got to be a committee type thing. And I hate to say it, but I feel like the one I have the least amount of faith in is Michael Carter-Williams. Great point guard. He can run the game, but he can't really make shots.
Right. No, I definitely – no, I agree with you. I agree with you with that. And you're right. I like the committee, the replace Roten, because I wrote that down. You know, guys who I think that need to step up, who can step up. I did say KJ, but KJ has been, his game has slowly been rising. But I did also write down Jeremy Grant, as you said. He's now starting to assert himself in his offense. He was out for a little bit of time with an injury. Now he's starting to assert himself now on the offense. I also want to see more, Larry Drew II, who the Sixers signed on a 10-day contract. I think it was last week or a week before.
Yeah, for the 23 assist performance.
Yeah, I wanna see him get some more time, just because he's a point guard, a ball handler. Just want to get him more, so then you can probably do some things with Carter Williams. But the one thing that concerns me with Carter Williams, and you said this, is him making shots, because that's one thing that you need, especially when the game is close. And Roten compared to Carter Williams, I would say Roten more has a more of a killer instinct to try to win the game than Michael Carter Williams.
Roten has more of an ability to catch fire, and Carter Williams just is like, Tony Roten is a very, very big, like, firefly type player. Michael Carter Williams is more like slow and steady, wins the race. Michael Carter Williams will not score a bunch of points, but he'll have some assists, and he'll do some rebounds, and he'll have some rebounds, and he'll contribute here and there. But he's never going to have that, like, he's never going to be Allen Iverson. He's never going to be that point guard that's going to, like, pop up a 44 performance and 20 assists and have, like, triple doubles and everything. That's right. Not his style. Is he a smart player? He's a very smart player. Can he run the game? He can run the game. And as long as you can surround him with players that can put points on the board, then you can sacrifice your point guard not scoring as much, as long as you have an intelligent point guard who can run the game. The interesting thing, and this is the wild card, right before we wrap up, Jason Richardson, he will be back this season. I think that's your veteran piece that puts the whole team together, that teaches the young kids how to play. He's coming back this season. He's going to play this season, and he wants to play here, and he wants to continue his – he wants to finish his contract that goes into next year here. He wants to win here. He said that. He has faith in this program. He likes the kids that are here, and he wants to help teach them and guide them to go better – or, to do better. So Jason Richardson, he's the key. He's like your ace in the hole that you don't really – you're watching the nail and you see signs of improvement, you see signs of encouragement, and then you think about it like, oh, wow, Jason Richardson's going to be back soon, and he's going to be able to teach them even more so.
Right. No, I definitely.
As okay as they're doing without him, they're going to be better with him when he comes back in about a month.
No, you're right about that, and that's the last one that's going to wrap up our show. Is you're right, Jason Richardson is going to be a very key cog in this team, because he's got veteran presence. A lot of people thought, oh, man, we lost that young. There's no veteran presence. Let's not forget Jason Richardson. This guy has been around in the league. He's a professional. Not saying that was a professional. Wasn't a professional. Dad's a professional. Richardson's a professional as well. He's a shooter, too. So that's a guy, and he can help direct traffic on the court as well, too. That's definitely something that we like to see going forward for this young squad. And that's going to wrap up the show here tonight. I thank everybody for tuning in again. Make sure you check out TotalHoopsLive.com and BuzzOnBroad.com for all your latest in sports. And we'll be back same time, same place next Sunday at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Everybody have a good night and stay safe with that snow coming.
Bye, everyone.